The Bright Side Home Theater Podcast is a spoiler podcast. The opinions and reviews are solely those of the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. It's time for the Briggs family holiday tradition. What are you laughing at?
You got a radio voice. It's so funny.
Well, you've heard me talk before. You've listened to my podcast.
I know, and as soon as you started, it changed. It was so funny.
So now you're telling everybody this isn't exactly what I sound like in real life?
Yep.
Thanks. All right, so that voice you hear is my son Joe, who is going to join us for this holiday tradition, as he's done every year since... Do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
No.
You don't remember? You were young, though.
Yeah, Rambo was the first rated R movie, First Blood. This was second? Yeah.
How old you were on Rambo?
No idea.
Guess. Like a ballpark. You weren't 17.
No, 14? I don't know.
Probably like, yeah.
13? Middle school, probably?
Yeah.
Late middle school? I don't know. First PG-13 was Revenge of the Sith. When I was, what, 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, that was...
When did that come out? 05?
So, yeah, Try that again. Revenge of the Sith, easy for me to say. Came out in 2005, and I took you to see that in the theater?
Yeah. I was 8, I think,
Seven or eight,
depending on, I don't know when it came out, if it was summer.
They usually come out at Christmas time, so you would have been 8.
May 19th. Yeah, it was a summer movie.
Oh, wow. Well, they're doing all Christmas time now in this trilogy, this latest trilogy that we're going through right now. That's weird.
Not anymore.
I don't remember. Yeah.
It's over now. We're not going through it.
Yeah. That's too bad. But the movie that we're talking about today is a Briggs family tradition. We've actually watched it as a family as well.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mom and Meg. We all sat down 1 year when we were doing that. We'd watch a movie every Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
that might have been the first one.
No, you'd seen it before Meg, because I wouldn't have shown it to you.
The first one of doing a movie every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been.
Might have started with that.
Right. So, the movie we're talking about, of course, the best holiday movie of all time. The Christmas movie that nobody on the internet wants to call a Christmas movie. Die Hard.
We thank you one and all and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A. But a team of terrorists.
You want money?
What kind of terrorists are you?
Who said we were terrorists?
Have their own holiday plans.
And I'm telling you, you're just going to have to kill me.
Okay.
We do it the hard way.
But the one thing they didn't plan on was New York cop John McClane.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
You really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
I want blood.
And you'll have it.
They have already killed one hostage.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordered a pizza?
Come to Papa, honey.
Are you really an American?
Only if New Jersey counts.
What does he think he's doing?
Job.
They're using artillery on us.
You appear to us. It's not the police.
It's him.
He's an easy guy to like.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis. Die Hard.
So, do you consider it a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Do you consider it a Christmas movie because I told you it's a Christmas movie?
Yep. No. No, it's all it they say Merry Christmas every other scene. Everything, they got Christmas lights, the Christmas party, Christmas music. All the music in the background is Christmas music.
Right.
Or made it sound like Christmas music.
Yeah, we were talking about that as we just finished watching it. I hadn't really noticed that before. You said you had. I'd never noticed that. Yeah. In most of the background music, I'd say, what, like 90% of it? There is some ambient background.
It's either
some of the
Christmas
score.
Music or sound music made to sound like Christmas music.
Right.
Like the...
The bells.
The vault. I don't know what song it is, but every time they show the vault, it's the...
Yeah.
I forget what the song is, but they tone it down and they do a deeper version when they first show the vault and it's more ominous.
Right.
But it's still that song, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, and that, but even like the one you and I talked about at the time was when Al goes into the store and he gets his Twinkies.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
You can hear the
it
music.
It was on the radio in the store.
In the store.
And then at the gas station when he came out.
Right, and it's still playing when he's outside, and I had commented to you that it's still playing outside, and you said, yeah, but you're still at the gas station, so maybe there's overhead speakers.
It followed him outside a couple times when
right.
You went outside the building.
Yeah.
And it would, and then it would cut out and just go to, like, the police chatter in the background.
Yeah. That was... We'll get into a few scenes that I really liked in this, because that's what this podcast is about, a few of the scenes with the... But that's a good one. Any of the scenes. I thought the cut on this... This is a DTS 5.1... What does it say?
DTS HD Master Audio 5.1.
I thought this sounded awesome. We've heard this cut before. We've heard this audio track before because that's the same track that's on the 1080 version. We watched the 4K version for the first time. Now that we have a 4K projector, we can enjoy 4K for what it is. And one of the things that I've always noticed is when I upgrade a piece of equipment, something else seems to be improved. I don't know. Have I talked to you about this? Because I know Mom
has
said that, and we've watched, like, so we'll get a new projector, and the sound sounds better, even though it's the same sound that we've heard in the past. Or we'll get a new receiver that upgrades the sound, and now the picture looks better, but the picture's still the same as it was the day before.
Right. Yeah, no, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the same 5.1 mix that we heard last year when we watched this, but for some reason, things stood out, seemed clearer to me. Or more clear.
Did we have the subwoofers?
Yes.
We had both this time last year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have both. Yeah, we've had the subs for over a year, the dual subs.
I was going to say that could
properly.
Be it.
Yeah.
You changed your speakers around too.
Well,
a little.
I put in the wall in the back.
Yep.
And that dampening,
so that could help
dampen some sound and clarify a few things. But
right.
All the speakers are exactly the same. The subwoofers are the same as they were last year. We got the subs over a year ago.
New position,
like
too, though.
No. Actually,
yeah.
You're right.
Your rear sub centered.
My rear sub is dead centered, where it was a little off centered last year.
I don't know if it's a huge difference, but.
No, but maybe it did, because it sounded that clear. The voices, everything.
The voices sounded pretty good, yeah.
Very crisp.
Yeah.
The gunshots. And I noted a couple of gunshots that we'll talk about in a little bit, but I thought every single gunshot in this movie was very crisp, very, like, the bass.
You could
was,
pick them out.
Yeah.
You could pick out the shots in the automatic fire, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't just a blur of sound.
Right. That's what I mean. It was very crisp, very distinct. Every bullet, every shot was like not a punch to your gut, because you don't need that kind of bass for that. And there was only a few punches to your gut in this movie.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot.
Wasn't a lot of deep, deep bass where it punched you in the gut. One of the ones that I thought punched you in the gut was, and it was very subtle, but did you get it when the helicopters, the gunships as they called them at the end of the movie, the gunships come through? Did you feel that in your chest?
I didn't really know.
Oh, okay. Well, you were kind of sitting back and
relaxed. You were have the sub right behind you.
Yeah, true.
It's right on you.
Yeah, but I could feel it in that seat. It was very, but it wasn't hard. It wasn't very deep, but you could feel it. It was like somebody tapping you on the chest.
Yeah, no, I didn't feel that, but
I always sit in the prime position.
Yeah.
But it was still good. I thought it was good through the room. The bass was,
yeah, it was good.
On the gunships. All right, so before we go on with more and more scenes, and there's only a few that we'll talk about, I have one more Christmas movie-related question. So the argument is the reason people think this isn't a Christmas movie is because this movie could take place at any time during the year. They could have subbed out any holiday. Doesn't even have to be a holiday. You could have this movie take place at any time during the year. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's centered around Christmas. If it was centered around 4th of July, it'd be a 4th of July movie, and they would have Fourth of, like, patriotic phrases in it. Like Independence Day, you could sub Christmas in there and change the lines to be Christmas related, and it would be a Christmas movie now. It's still an alien movie, or it's still an action movie, but they're gonna, it's a Christmas movie if it's based around Christmas.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think too. It's a Christmas movie because we think it's a Christmas movie.
Isn't It's a Wonderful Life? I mean, it's based around Christmas, but you could have put that movie anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the story. You could put it anywhere.
Yeah.
You could put A Christmas Story. No, not A Christmas Story.
Yeah, that would be a tough one.
What's the Charles Dickens one where he goes and sees his different lives?
Oh.
The book or the whatever.
With Scrooge?
Yeah. What's that one?
I think it's Charles Dickens' Christmas Story.
Yeah, so I did have it right. Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could sub that in anywhere you want. Doesn't have to be Christmas time. But It's a Wonderful Life is around. That's Christmas, but it doesn't have to do with Christmas, right?
Well,
I don't think it has to do with Christmas.
The angel gets its wings.
Yeah, an angel sent from heaven desperately to help a desperately frustrated businessman by showing him what life would have been if he never existed. That doesn't have to be around Christmas.
Right.
They put it around Christmas to make it fit with everything, but it doesn't have to be around Christmas.
Right. Except for, and I said this in last week's show, that Lethal Weapon, I said, made the case that it's a Christmas movie because Riggs is suicidal.
Right.
And that spikes around the holidays. So that's how they kind of pigeonholed that. What's the name of it?
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah.
You were on Lethal Weapon.
I know. It's a Wonderful, yeah, and my mind went nuts.
Yeah, I can't read it.
That's how they pigeonholed It's a Wonderful Life
right.
into being a Christmas movie is because he was desperate, suicidal,
right.
And it's like, you know, that's how you change it. But you're right. You could change that at any point. You could make that movie about at any other time during the year if somebody just wanted to commit suicide.
Like Joker.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you put Joker around Christmas, and it could be a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
If he got help instead of killing people.
Right. And my point isn't to change. If you don't believe it's a Christmas movie, then fine. You don't believe it's a Christmas movie. We do.
Right.
And, you know, it's...
Oh, there's other people out there that do.
Oh, yeah. We're not the only family that does this. There's plenty of people that when you put out on Twitter or any of social media that this is your favorite Christmas movie, there's plenty of people that back you, and then there's plenty of people that don't.
That guy at work starts it every year. That's his first one of the year. That same thing you used to do. He said it.
Yeah.
Right after Thanksgiving, it's Die Hard.
The only reason it's not my first one anymore...
Because I got to get home.
You're not home anymore.
Right.
You're at school. Ever since you went to college, I have to wait till you get home.
Right.
So we usually watch it. We could watch it Thanksgiving weekend, but
yeah,
I like to
no
save
fun.
It for now.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
too quick.
Yeah, exactly. But we've been doing this since...
Do both.
I've been watching it as a Christmas movie since probably the mid-90s. I used to watch the movie all the time, but then I just started, you know, as I've said in an earlier podcast, when you watch as many movies, you kind of pace them out. And I've obviously picked this one perfect as a Christmas movie.
And this was 88, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 88.
Okay.
I was 18. I remember seeing it in the theater. I was working in a video store when the video came out on VHS. I wore that tape out. You young kids now don't know what it means to wear something out because digital doesn't wear out.
I don't know. This disc looked pretty worn out.
Oh, yeah. So let's get to that. Brand new 4K disc. And what do we have to restart it three times?
Three or four times, yeah. We had to restart it or back it up and let it go again.
Oh, it was awful. I gotta
just pixels straight through the screen.
Yeah, it
definitely wasn't 4K.
Wonking out on us, and it yeah, yeah, it was like 6K.
Yeah,
not 6K.
No, like
it was six pixels
6P.
On the screen. Yeah, that was bad. I'm gonna have to return. Hopefully, the next disc doesn't do that. That was very disappointing because
it has to be the disc. I doubt that's the cut.
Yeah. No, they meant that way. So let's get into that. Not how bad it looked when it went wonky. How good did this look? This is my first time watching this in 4K with the HDR. And this movie, to me, now, I don't think you haven't seen Blade Runner yet in 4K.
No.
Okay. This is as close as you can get to that Blade Runner cut or even the Blade Runner 2049, which are unreal looking cuts.
Yep.
They look so, the blacks and then the lights in the background, both of, all three of these movies take place at a very dark time. Obviously, Die Hard is taking place on Christmas Eve. The entire thing is shot at night, and the blacks in this are awesome.
Yeah, they looked really good. It looked really good for a movie that came out in 88, too, I
yes.
think. Like, as, I know it wasn't shot in 4K, so it looked really good for a
right.
restoration. And even when they went to the TVs that they had in the movie, you could tell that they were pixelated. But not, but the movie itself wasn't.
Right.
Which looked really cool. It was a cool back and forth to zoom in on a TV and you can count the pixels and then zoom out and it looks perfect.
Crystal. Yeah. One of the things I noticed too is...
The lights look good too.
Yeah.
When he turned the lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he kills the first guy, he turned all the lights on in the room and the whole room's white.
Yeah.
That looked really good.
The contrast was so good. That's the HDR, that high
yeah.
dynamic range. And you had... Such in this entire movie that I think that's what makes the blacks look so good throughout this whole movie is that you had in every single scene, you had something bright someplace and something dark. And that's what set that apart. And I showed you that in one scene where it was like, if you went all black on the screen, especially with a projector, it's very hard to get black on a screen.
Right.
And our screen is framed out in velvet so that you have as black can be. And most of this movie, a lot of the blacks, the deep blacks, looked like they matched that.
The one you pointed out was his bag.
Yeah.
The bag full of stuff on him with his lighter clothes and the lighter background. But the bag almost matched the velvet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, but you can't get that if you don't have that high contrast, if you don't
right.
have that bright light. And the way it just looked so good. And throughout this movie, you had like when they showed the city, when he's up on top of the building, they
mm-hmm.
you're overlooking the city and you see all the bright lights in the city and they're all popping.
Yep.
Everything's popping. The city is nice and black. Everything's
and the sunset's
popping.
Yellow and red.
Yeah. And what did you say it looked like?
It looked like, when the bombs go off in Terminator. That was right at the very beginning, through the blinds on the window.
Yeah.
It looks like a mushroom cloud, and it reminded me of Terminator.
Yeah, the scenes, the picture on this movie was just so good. I just thought, I was very impressed. I was very surprised, to be honest with you. We've watched this movie, obviously, many, many times, and it's never really popped like that. And that's what I said before, how that really made, I think it made the sound even pop more. Because... One of your senses feels something is nice and crisp, for some reason, your other senses pick it up as well. So, let's get into some stuff about the sound. So, you and I had mentioned while we were watching the movie, the ambient sounds. And right off the bat, when John McClane comes into the lobby
mm-hmm.
and he walks up to the, quote, nice toy
mm-hmm.
and he puts in his wife's name. That scene in the lobby, it sounds like...
A lobby?
Yeah. But it sounds like...
An empty lobby?
Yeah, an ambient lobby. Like a lot of white noise. It sounded like bad noise reduction. You know, like they didn't take the noise out. And you'd expect it in a movie to be crisp. And you're like, ooh, is this a bad cut? But then he gets into the elevator or he goes around and the sound goes away. And
right.
throughout the movie, they used that a lot where you'd have loud noises and then they went crystal, like clear sound, like
how it
quiet.
Would be in an elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
well,
did.
A lobby's not going to be completely quiet. They got air going and whatever. If it's too quiet, it turns into a horror movie.
Right.
And it's just dead silence. And that's weird.
Right. But this one, it seemed overly pronounced to me in the lobby. But I
didn't think so.
After the fact, I liked it. I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, it was cool. And it's like, and then you listen for that throughout the movie, and it's like the ambient sounds going all around. And like you said, another ambient sound was anytime they were outside with the police all
yeah.
gathered around and just looking at the screen, another one where the picture looks incredible. And you had atmospheric depth, which is like the characters on the screen close to you were crystal clear. The blacks were great. But the further they got away, you got that atmosphere, the grayed out atmosphere in the background, which really created a sense of depth. Plus, you had all of the lights going and, you know, red lights, blue lights. You had white lights, spotlights. Yeah, floodlights. And then the sound around the room. You had car doors closing behind.
It wasn't loud. But
no.
It would cut from the Christmas music to just, like, chatter.
Yep.
Like a...
People talking.
Like a big issue like that would have.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody... I think... And some of it is, like, if you listen carefully, you can hear... like nonsense chatter, but it's like crystal clear. Like you'll hear two guys talking over on the left and behind you, and they're talking about like, oh,
what was the one you heard? You heard one.
Oh yeah. That's the first time I've ever heard it. It was, right before he kills, I almost said Mr. Miyagi.
Takagi. Yeah. Takagi? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
He said, I forget what he said.
So the scene right before he kills Takagi, they go outside the room, and you're looking at John McClane, at Bruce Willis's character under the table. And he's looking at the glass door closed and everything, and you can actually hear as clear as day, but it's softened because he's through the wall, the glass wall. You can hear him explain that the
Barabons.
The Barabons are going to take 10 days to clear, so they need to, it's going to take them 10 days to turn them into cash.
Right.
But he says something like, it's a small inconvenience.
Right.
I've never heard that before, and it's as crystal clear as can be.
Right. Yeah, no, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, and we heard this movie last year.
Yep.
We heard this movie the year before.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's...
Did they clean it up a little for this cut?
I don't know. I don't know. From everything I've read, this is the same DTS 5.1 cut from previous edition, which we had, you know, Mum gave me the tower package and
found that.
Yeah. And it's got the same 5.1 cut on it.
Right.
But that I thought was really cool. I love that. And like the two of us were like, I've never heard that. And I don't even think you were making note of it until I said it. And
no,
then you were
I
like,
didn't even. It was just background noise. I wasn't listening to that.
I thought that was really cool for sound. What did anything really pop out at you?
For sound?
Yeah.
No. No, I didn't have anything big that I thought was like that was good. I didn't have anything huge. Not like, it's not cut like the other movies we have that I've been like, that's crazy.
Right.
Like when the 50 cals go off in other movies and you're like, holy crap.
Right. But this
like
is...
Dunkirk, that pops. You gotta do that one too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that one. I already have a guest lined up for that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. But nothing really jumps out in this movie as
Outlier.
A reference level, like, oh, you have to go and see this scene.
Right.
But within the movie, in the context of the movie, I really liked the scene when they, quote, shoot the glass.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. It didn't pop to me because I've heard it a million times, but... But yeah, no, that was really good.
Yeah, that scene's at 1 hour, 35 minutes, and 40 seconds. If you start right there, I think at 40 seconds, you pick up right when...
Hans?
Yeah, Hans Gruber and John McClane are facing off, and the elevated doors are about to open up, and then you go right into that scene, and they just start shooting everything.
Right.
And you have the great base of the guns.
Yeah.
And then you have...
And a distinct difference in the guns, too.
Yeah.
You had the two submachine guns, and then you had the rifle, the big rifle that... What's his name had? The big green AUG. I forget. What was the guy's name?
Oh.
The blonde...
Hans?
No, the blonde guy.
No. The guy that...
The blonde guy that killed his brother.
Yeah, Carl.
Carl.
Carl. I was looking to see if he had a last name. Nope. He's just Carl.
Just Carl with a K.
Carl with a K. Yeah, Alexander Gutnov.
Yeah, when his rifle and then the other two machine guns you could hear, they were all going off at the same time, but you could pick them out.
Right,
The different noises.
The different tones.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the difference between that and then the high pitch of the glass breaking.
Right.
And hitting the ground. And the entire time we're watching that scene, the glass is breaking all around the room. Because they're shooting different pieces of different panes.
And TVs and printers. And
and yeah. And I think for if you have a good sized 5-1 system, this is almost reference level just because, or reference quality just because of the difference in dynamic. You have the, and it's not great deep bass like a Jurassic Park Tyrannosaurus Rex bass, but you have the difference between, so say like in Jurassic Park when the T-Rex stomps, you don't have any high-pitched voice noises to go along with it.
Right.
In this one, you have some really good punchy, you know, gunshots going on at a rapid pace.
Right.
And you have all that high-pitched glass breaking all over. And for a well-tuned system, this is a really fun scene to watch.
Yeah. And the scene that always jumps, it's the first time you hear the big rifle fire up on top of the roof when right after he clicks the barrel in.
Yeah.
That always, it goes from very quiet to that rifle going off.
Where was that scene in the movie?
That's at the, towards the beginning when he's up on the roof trying to call the police with the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he comes up with the big rifle. Everyone else has the small guns and he pulls out the rifle out of the bag.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That always goes from dead quiet to a big, big gun going off.
Yeah, yeah, they do that a lot in this movie.
Yeah,
they do
but that rifle always jumps out.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Every year?
Yeah. You look forward to that scene every year?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. They do that a lot in this movie. You'll have a big explosion or you'll have a big gunshot, and then the scene right following it will be like dead silence.
Yep.
And it just pacing you out and really giving you that dynamic...
Contrast,
yes. Which it gets right back to the picture. They did such a good job on both of these, the dynamic contrast in the picture and the way they paced this movie sound-wise. It's
yep.
Even getting into the, you know, ambient sound. There's a reason it's there. It's like you don't need it.
Right.
It's not pertinent to the plot of the movie, but if you don't have it there, when you have no ability to take sound away later.
Right.
So I have two more scenes that we could talk about that I thought were really cool.
Okay.
So the second to last one is at 1 hour, 56 minutes, and 50 seconds, basically the climax of the movie, when they explode, blow up the top of the building with the helicopters, or the helicopter up there. We're going to need more FBI agents. I don't know why, but for maybe you're right. Maybe centering those subs this year helped, but the base extension that we got on that, again, this isn't, you know, pound your chest, Dunkirk type base, but the multiple base explosions when they blew the roof off of the building. It's
yeah, you could hear the couple go on the roof and then a pause and then the helicopter comes down and goes up too.
Right. And by the time you get inside, when Bruce Willis jumps off the top with the
fire hose,
yep, and then gets through the window, by the time he comes up out of the water after that explosion happens, you're hit with almost like 10 explosions that are very distinct explosions. And they, you know, because they set up different charges all around the roof.
Right.
And it wasn't like, if you haven't seen this movie in a while, you might think they blew the roof off and it's like the scene from Terminator 2 when they blow up the building and it just everything goes boom right through the windows.
Yep.
Or the scene earlier in the movie when he drops the C4.
Down the elevator shaft.
Yeah. And you're going to need more screen doors, or we're going to need some screen doors. That's just one big explosion. Then when they blew the roof off this place, it was multiple nice base punches that I thought were a lot of fun that it just to, you know, throw that scene on, I'm probably going to do it again. Well, definitely when I get my new version, see, and I have to test out the disc. But the last scene is pretty much the last scene of the movie. What did you think of the final gunshot when
Al
shot?
That's always very loud, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And great, very distinct bass
punch,
extension.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good punch.
Good high, too.
Yeah. And again,
sounds like a gunshot.
Yeah, yeah. It get again, just like we were saying about shooting the glass, you have that great range,
right,
in the high pitch and the bass. All right. So, pal, last thing I want to say before I let you go, the last scene, and we laughed about this when we were watching the movie. So we're big Psych fans.
Yep.
You grew up, you told me about the show,
mm-hmm,
and then I started watching it with you. We actually started watching it as a family. So if you don't know what Psych is, you know, grab a pineapple, Google Psych, check it out. So Sean and Gus grew up in the 80s, and they used tons of 80s references. And for the first time watching this movie, you get the scene, or I noticed in the scene when Elliot, is that his name? Elliot comes into the office to talk to Hans, and they give him the microphone to talk to John McClane.
Is it Elliot?
Ellis.
Ellis. I was going to say Elias.
Ellis.
Ellis.
Yeah.
And they give Ellis the mic.
It says his name's Harry Ellis. So, yeah, they called him Ellis.
Oh, his last name's Ellis. Oh.
Ellis is his last name. So, for some reason, he got two names.
I was going to say
Carl
Elias.
Only got one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Ellis, not Elliot.
And they give him the walkie.
Yeah, and they give him the walkie, and he's like, hey.
Hey, yeah.
And immediately, what did you say?
Oh, he's got a radio voice.
Got a radio voice.
Yep.
And then right away, I was thinking of Gus. There's an episode in Psych when they hand a walkie-talkie to Gus, and he gets on the walkie-talkie, and he's like...
They were on a ferry. It was Fairy Tale.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know.
He just did that without looking at his phone. But yeah, he was...
Fairy Tale.
Fairy Tale, yeah.
Who was the cop in it?
He's the guy that's on Hawaii Five-0 now.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but yeah, that's the guy he's on Hawaii Five-0 now,
yep.
But he was on, and Gus gets seasick, blah, 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 but they hand him a walkie, and he's like, I don't remember what Gus says, but they're like, he starts talking in a radio voice.
Yeah,
like,
who
hey,
is this?
How you doing?
Gus.
He's like, are you doing a radio voice?
Chai McBride. That was the cop.
Is that his character's name?
No, it's his name.
Oh, that's his name in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah,
he had to look that one up.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that one.
But I'm one
episode.
I'm honestly wondering if he did that as like an homage to Die Hard.
Oh, he might have,
because that show is filled with 80s references and 80s.
Yeah, it could have been that. It could have just been people actually do that.
Right.
And
well,
it was funny.
I thought it was funny as soon as we started talking.
Well, that's why I might not. I probably still would have called you on it.
Oh yeah, you would have. Yeah.
Because we're sitting here talking, and I was like, he's going to do the open soon. And then your voice changed like that. I was like, ah, that's funny.
I know you would call me on it, because I could tell by the look on your face. You were
Jesus.
Shocked. All right. That wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
You did all right.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see if the ratings go down.
The ratings go down.
I don't think they can. So that's our Die Hard show. Obviously, this is Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to everybody. Let us know. Stop looking at your watch. This is podcasting. People don't know that this isn't real. We're not really on Christmas Eve. Let us know what you think of Die Hard. Let me know on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought of Joe's performance. He's really nervous. He's really worried. But as the holiday tradition, we're going to do this again next year.
Oh, boy.
We're going to do Die Hard every year. Maybe next year we'll watch the audio commentary, because you've never done that. Nope. I've done that. Or we'll do something. But every Christmas Eve, Brightside Home Theater will put out a Die Hard edition with Joe and I.
Hopefully they come out with some new cuts. Some new sound.
Yeah, hopefully I have a disc that
Atmos
works.
Sound? Yeah, a disc that works would be cool.
I don't know if they'll do an Atmos, though, because they just came out with this 4K. I don't know. Maybe
someday. They
don't
want your money?
Yeah, they want my money.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, Dunkirk isn't an Atmos. You don't need Atmos.
Oh, I know.
Although this would be nice with a punchier bass.
Yeah.
If they went to a lower, you know, really utilize the LFE channel, that would be nice. But, all right. Merry Christmas. I won't be back until after the new year. I'll have a show the Friday after New Year's. So I will see everybody next year. Take care. And don't forget, go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.